Time to talk to Jamie Jenkins and get some common sense from the scientific point of view. Jamie, very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Very well, actually. I'm sort of buoyed by all this bizarre news going on. I mean, just when you thought you'd seen enough and seen it all, suddenly Boris Johnson has another baby. What are the chances of that happening statistically?
Yeah. Brilliant, Mike. I think, you know, plan B, there's a few words you could probably use for B, but we're on air, so we better not probably use them.
Well, I used one last night when I put out my verdict on what it was all about.
Well, we started year-end, didn't we, late yesterday afternoon, and there was rumours around in the morning that there was going to be this press conference, then it started getting announced. I put a tweet out then, basically, just to kind of reassure the public, I suppose, that we clearly not in the same position as we were last December. The number of people in hospital, actually, Mike, has been going down now for several weeks, and it's been the longest period of decline in hospital. These are COVID patients, by the way, in hospital since last winter. They've crept up yesterday's figures, but, you know, they are significantly down, continuing to go down in Wales. Deaths are around 80% lower than this time last year, and even though the cases in hospital are going down, they're about 55 to 60% lower than this time last year. So when you start looking at all the facts and figures, when Boris was talking about Plan B many, many months ago, he said, oh, if we start having any pressure, it's going to overwhelm the NHS, then we'll bring Plan B in.
Yeah.
And so talk about following the science or following the data, it just seems to be absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Because I thought Chris Whitty yesterday, I don't think Chris Whitty even looked like he believed what he was saying yesterday. And he kept sort of, you know, licking his lips and looking at next slide, please. And when he was looking at the next slide, please, you could see that actually there were fewer people in hospital than there were the same time last week, fewer people dying than there were the same time last week. And I've never seen them before. I tried to say this earlier to Dr. Andrew Preston, who was on. I said, I've never seen them before using lower statistics to actually say that that's why we need more restrictions, because something might go wrong in the future. They've never actually used that before.
No, and they've changed the goalposts, Mike. So people are saying that, oh, well, we didn't lock down quick enough back last March, so we should lock down because of the Omicron variant. Now, if you look at the Omicron variant, again, there was another scary chart that they showed, which was the rise of the Omicron variant in the UK.
But, yeah,
you know, if you start putting percentage increases or something in of the variant, if you go from one to two cases, then you've got 100% increase.
Yeah.
You know, these are still relatively low numbers. They may overtake, and I never agree much with Vladimir Putin. You know, I never really use his name, but he's actually saying that this variant itself could be a kind of a natural kind of vaccine, as in if it is more kind of transmissible but less deadly, and it goes and infects the world. Because ultimately, Mike, we've talked in the past, COVID isn't going anywhere. It will evolve into different variants. Everybody in the world ultimately going to need to catch this. So a variant that's less deadly isn't necessarily a bad thing. They're concerned about the NHS getting overrun. But I've seen some medics, Mike, tweeting that cancer operations are being kind of cancelled because of COVID patients in hospital. Now, I tweeted this morning, I don't normally link to The Guardian because, you know, I think when you're ripping it up, it's not a bad idea, but I've linked to a tweet in The Guardian from 2019, Mike. Cancer patients are having their operations cancelled because of a lack of beds. Now, 2019, there was no COVID. So, you know, this is a common problem. And we discussed this, Mike, many, many months ago. I said, I wouldn't surprise me if more restrictions come in. They'll blame you know, the NHS by December. Exactly what's happened, because the NHS just cannot cope any winter, is what the kind of the narrative is, before COVID.
I mean, I'm getting sick to death of hearing these NHS people. I heard an NHS providers person on earlier saying, oh, you know, we're already under pressure. I mean, it's the only business in the world that doesn't ever improve from one year to the next, doesn't ever take into account the fact that they might have struggled last year, so maybe they need to increase their capacity this year. They just don't seem to ever do it. And the idea that we've got fewer people going into hospital now than we did last year, and yet they're still moaning on about the fact that they might be overrun, well, fix the problem. You know, don't blame sick people for going to hospital.
No, and Mike, part of the problem with the NHS being overrun right now is the fact that over the last 18 months, the mantra has been stay home, protect the NHS. People have stayed home to protect the NHS. And what's been the consequence of that, Mike, is we've seen, you know, nearly 80,000 excess deaths in private homes over the last kind of 20 months. That's, you know, each week they continue to be about 35% above average. Yeah, I don't see Chris Whitty's slide showing me that on the kind of the slides, that people are dying at home more than normal. And part of the problem there, Mike, is because people haven't been coming forward, but some are coming forward, which has put this extra pressure on the NHS.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why the patients are up. But, you know, having a national COVID service and closing, kind of restricting people, I know I feel today, Mike, for the hospitality sector, because, you know, they obviously didn't close hospitality yesterday, But telling everybody to work from home for Monday, well, if you're not traveling into the office, people will be saying, well, I may as well cancel those Christmas party bookings that we've got in these restaurants. And where's the financial money for those? All this money, Mike, that they're going to tax us more next April for national insurance to go into the NHS and social care. Well, we're probably going to lose all of that money in terms of the lost economic output by these new kind of measures.
Well, that's right. And also the ludicrous point about some of Chris Whitty's information yesterday, and Alison Pearson was pointing this out on Twitter as he was doing it, is that a lot of his figures were actually wrong. You know, there's a very small percentage of people currently in hospital in the beds occupied because of COVID. Very small.
Yeah, Mike. So the problem is, you can, you know, when you show a chart with just the COVID patients, it looks rather big. So the number of people in hospital overall is around just about 5% of COVID patients overall. But critical care is probably the more interesting thing that we should look at. And 20% of patients in critical care have been in because they've tested positive for COVID. Some of them may not be in for COVID. We know about 1 in 4 patients overall, Mike, go into hospital with a positive test, but they're not there for COVID. So 20% of the critical care patients are there with COVID. 60% of critical care patients have got non-COVID reasons for going in, so three times as many. And then 20% of the beds are unoccupied. Mm. So, you know, if they put those figures up just to show we've got just as many empty beds in critical care now as we have COVID patients, I think people would look at things in a different light. But it's all about kind of scaremongering, and the figures are always manipulated.
Well, I mean, can you believe Sajid Javid's claim that we could be up to 1 million a day infections of Omicron? I mean, it's just ludicrous, isn't it? I mean, how does anybody even take that seriously?
Well, Mike, they've predicted 100,000 cases per day when we ease the restrictions in July, and we haven't got anywhere near then. And ultimately, let's go back to the Omicron variant then, Mike. So if 1 million cases per day and people have a little bit of fatigue and some headaches, you know, is that I've probably felt like I've had Omicron for the last 10 years, Mike, you know, with things are going.
I've certainly had it this week.
Well, I'm no doubt, Mike, and I'm sure when you have the kind of your drinks this afternoon or on the show, you probably have a few extra this afternoon.
Another lunch. I'm going to drag my carcass off for another lunch in it after the show, you know. So, you know, I quite often wake up with a bit of a bad head and some aches and pains, but that's partly due to my age, partly due to my lifestyle. But I'm not complaining, and I'm not asking everybody to stay home in order to protect me either.
No, and the thing is, Mike, let's not play down. There may be a potential risk of the Omicron variant, and it depends on how many go into hospital. The data from South Africa is that people who are going into hospital don't need kind of oxygen. They used to be in hospital for 8 days. They're coming out in 3 days. So the impact of this new variant will be less than the old variant. But, you know, I haven't really followed the kind of Botswana much, but Botswana is where we were told last week that we've identified 4 cases of the Omicron variant. Yeah. And yesterday they reported 0 COVID cases overall in Botswana. So it's not really spreading like wildfire there.
No.
I think ultimately, Mike, vaccine passports plan B, they brought those in now. Let's look at France. Cases rose. Vaccine passports came in. Couldn't go into a nightclub unless you're vaccinated. So what have they done now? Because cases continue to go up. Even though only vaccinated people could go to nightclubs, they've closed nightclubs.
Right.
Same in Ireland. You know, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Mm. England, Wales and Scotland, Mike, have had similar kind of trends with the COVID virus over the last 18 months. Even when Wales are kind of a plan B and Scotland have had plan B for a while, there's no real difference there, Mike. So, you know, plan B clearly isn't going to be that much. It just puts a lot of...
What do you reckon will happen? And I know this is not really a statistical question, but in terms of how many people actually work from home, we found out, didn't we, I think in the summer, that hardly anybody actually worked from home, even though it seemed like places in London were quite deserted. Yes, they were. This office here, there were quite a few people working from home. But by and large, most people who work, I think around about 65 to 70% of people actually still went out to work.
Yeah, and I remember big swathes of the economy, Mike. People can't work from home. You know, if you work in hospitality, construction, because the very first lockdown we had, that was properly a proper lockdown. People weren't going anywhere. And then we had this lockdown last November and in around January time where people were asked to work from home. It's mainly the office jobs, obviously. And a lot of businesses, Mike, have been having people coming in for a couple of days a week. So a lot of people have been there. Working from home will have an impact, but it'll also have an economic impact. I don't think working from home is going to be kind of for the public seen as bad as the vaccine passport. So like I'm planning on going to Newbury Racecourse next week with my dad, and I've had 2 jabs. I can get a COVID pass. I haven't got round to getting one yet. I haven't needed one. But you know, what's the science behind me having to show that I'm vaccinated? Well, I've had COVID, you know.
Well, you said
to stand outside, in a race course in fresh air. Yeah. What is the science behind that?
Well, this is it. I mean, you told us when you actually had COVID, when we spoke to you that time, that you'd got a COVID, you could potentially have a COVID pass and you could go out and show it to somebody and go in to wherever it was, but you're actually positive with COVID. And of course, you wouldn't do that. But the point is, people could do it. So there's no safeguard at all. But what I also found, talking to some friends of mine in Scotland, other people as well, is that an awful lot of places weren't really actually imposing the vaccine passport. They were kind of pretending to. And they were basically, particularly if they were a venue where lots of people were going in and out. Because I don't know whether from yesterday's announcement this includes football matches or sporting events. They didn't really make that very clear. They talked about, you know, indoor events that were more than 10,000. I think they said all events over 10,000. But they didn't mention football. They didn't mention rugby. We've got Six Nations coming up pretty soon. It's not very clear whether people are going to be asked to do it. And I think a lot of businesses won't do it.
No, so it does include these stadiums, Mike, because as I say, I looked up and on the race with the Racing Post, and they've said that from next Wednesday, attending race courses where there's more than 4,000 people can attend, and it's not based on how many. So imagine you could go to the race course, Mike, and there's only 50 people there, but because more than 4,000 could attend, you still have to show a vaccine pass. And, yeah. And say, the thing with me, I only tested positive because my son tested positive. I had no symptoms, so I had to have a test to leave the house, and I tested positive. So I could have gone to all of these different venues, spread the virus around. I think for me, Mike, what you've just said, a lot of people are saying on Twitter and when you speak to people that people aren't really taking much notice. The venues are just showing your phone and not really checking these things. And okay, that's one thing. But the thing for me, Mike, is all the people who choose not to go in the first place because of the kind of the hassle, or they just feel, you know, Julia this morning saying that, you know, she doesn't feel she needs to show her medical status to go anywhere. And too right on that. If there was any science that these things worked, then, of course, to give it a big tick. But absolute nonsense. And Mark Drakeford, Mike, today now we get in the cabinet meeting in Wales. They'll be announcing, I think they normally issue by 10 o'clock tonight, what are they going to plan on doing. Mark Drakeford is like a game of kind of poker, Mike, with Boris. He's never going to be undone by Boris. If Boris has brought in Plan B, Mark Drakeford will have to kind of raise the stakes on that.
And, is that why he had that party as well? Because he'd heard they were having parties down his street. He thought you'd have one as well.
Well, exactly. So, you know, that Diwali party. And people in the media in Wales are starting to talk about, should we restrict the number of families coming round? Well, come on now, Mike. This time last year, we were told the vaccine rollout is the way forward. If we start going down this road, well, this is what we've got. This is life forever because COVID variants aren't going to. You know, the most common sense I've heard all this week, Mike, on the Home of Common Sense, was Theresa May in Parliament saying that, you know, we've got to have these variants all of the time and we can't stop the economy because of them.
No, and they can't keep saying, you know, just for a couple more weeks, we're going to do this. And I had the doctor I had on earlier today saying, oh, it's not much of a lockdown. It's a very mild lockdown. Well, it's not if you're running hospitality. It's not if you're running a business where you were expecting to do bumper Christmas business. And now that's not going to happen. People are cancelling. People are closing down events. Things are not happening that would have otherwise happened. And I have no confidence whatsoever in this government not making it worse.
No, and the problem you've got as well, Mike, is that there's a lot of kind of people are scared out there. And, you know, this week, I think the story today about Dr. Hilary Jones and a lot of complaints on Ofcom, that's in part because I put on Twitter on Monday that he was on air saying that 9 in 10 patients in hospital are unvaccinated. And it's just wrong. It's 36% in England. It's about 13% in Wales. Most people in the population are vaccinated, so it's not surprising that most of the patients in hospital are vaccinated because they don't offer 100% protection. Just to kind of put the other side there, you are more likely to be admitted if you're unvaccinated versus vaccinated.
But it's also a question of age as well, isn't it, Jamie? I mean, I've always been of the opinion that, of course, there are going to be more vaccinated people in hospital because more people are vaccinated than unvaccinated. So therefore, if you're at a certain stage of your life or if you've got a certain, you know, vulnerability or comorbidity, you're going to be still going into hospital because of that, not because of whether you've had the vaccine or not, really.
Yeah, there's that, Mike. And what you tend to find is that when COVID patients rise in terms of the number of ICU kind of and critical care beds, you all see the non-COVID ones come down. And so there's probably an element of some of the patients who are in there with COVID possibly would have been in the first place. For me, Mike, where it's going to be kind of getting a bit too far again, we've obviously got Boris having a conversation about mandatory vaccines. I think the simple conversation is no, Boris. There's no, that's not the way to go.
Yeah.
And then he said yesterday, and he made this threat a few weeks ago, that you have your COVID pass to go to these events. We've got millions of people who've had two jabs. But then he said, oh, we'll have to think about the booster. So is he now going to say to all these people who are double jabbed, relatively young, had COVID themselves, that unless you have a booster, you can't go to the nightclubs or the pubs or the racing? It's just absolute nonsense, yeah. Mike, and there's just no science behind it anymore.
Well, there isn't. And I think a lot of people, I don't know what it's like in Wales, because you've obviously had quite a few of these restrictions for longer than we have. But people in this country have certainly had enough, and an awful lot of people telling me we're just not doing it, just not bothering.
No, I think people just genuinely have had enough. You know, the masks have been in force in Wales since July. You do tend to see when you're out and about fewer people kind of wearing masks in different events. And I haven't really been out, so, you know, I've kind of got to that age, Mike, where I haven't been going to the nightclubs and stuff. So so I haven't really seen the impact of that. And I haven't been to the sporting events because generally I pop over to England, go to the races, but it's going to start impacting on all of that. And ultimately, Mike, you've got your issue in terms of not being to go and visit your mum. There's going to be a load of people who are now going to have to start potentially having to show boosters to go to different countries. And people have commented to me on Twitter, Mike, you know, get the vaccine, I say, if you're vulnerable and you want to have the vaccine. But some people are saying, oh, I've only had the vaccine to go on holiday. Now, that isn't the right reason for having a vaccine. You should be having the vaccine.
Well, I mean, I don't think it matters what reason you use. But I mean, if you want to do it because you want to go on holiday, then you can't. You know, it kind of defeats the object. And the fact that they're treating the vaccinated and the unvaccinated the same tells you quite a lot, I think. But listen, Jamie, got to run. Have a good time at Newbury Races. I'll see if I can pick a couple of winners for you before you head off there. Jamie Jenkins there, former head of health analysis at the ONS. Coming up, more of your calls, because we need to talk to a lot of you out there today. 0344 499 1000. Tim in Southampton says, Mike, there is no end to COVID restrictions until we get some political or mainstream media opposition, neither of which is likely to happen anytime soon. Well, we've got some opposition here. I don't know what you call this. This is the Independent Republican Mike Graham. We wield some power. I'll tell you that. This is Talk Radio.